Good morning. Welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the third perek in Sefer Shmuel Beis. Today we are left at the point of the war of attrition, where there is fighting, incessant fighting going on between the tribe of Yehuda and Binyamin and the rest of Israel, between the forces of Ishbosheth in the place of Shmuel and David in the south in charge of Hebron. And this war continues for a couple years. In the meantime, Tanakh goes out of its way to tell us about the children that David HaMelech has. It goes to tell us about his children, Amnon, Kilav, then we have Avshalom, Adoniah, Shephatiah, and finally Eglas. Yisroam, the son of Eglah, the wife of David. And it's interesting that the Tanakh focuses on this. It's almost like saying that, you know, having lots of children and numerous wives seems to be the hallmark of a king. So the Tanakh is emphasizing that while this is all going on, in the meantime, David's dynasty is being built. That's a side point, and then we return to what's going on. In the meantime, what happens is that Ishbosheth, remember that he is the person who's sitting on Shaul's throne, turns to Avner, who is the general who put Ishbosheth on the throne, who was Shaul's great general, turns to him and makes an accusation. He says, Ishbosheth says, Avner, why is it that you had a relationship with this lady Ritzpah, who was a Pilegesh, a concubine, semi-married woman to my father Shaul? So he makes an accusation that Avner has some sort of a relationship with his father's Pilegesh. And Avner loses it. Avner gets extremely upset with him, and he says, "Am I like a dog? Do you think that I'm one of David's men that you're accusing me of this? That you're making this accusation?" And he says, he says to him in a threatening fashion, "As Hashem swore to David, Kaneh Eseloi," meaning, and he says, "I'm going to help establish the kingdom of David in Hebron." And Ishbosheth, under this threat, was terrified, didn't know what to respond. And Avner does exactly that. What Avner does is he goes around and he speaks to the people under Ishbosheth's rule and the people of Binyamin. And he says, well, let's make a covenant with David. Let's go south. Let's unify the kingdoms. And he sets out a delegation and he sends a message to David that he wants to come in peace. David HaMelech answers very curiously. David says, you can come, but only on one condition, and that is that you return my wife, Michal. So that's exactly what happens. David sends a message, interestingly, to Ishbosheth, said, demanding the return of his original wife, Michal, the daughter of Shaul HaMelech, and she is sent. She is sent. She was actually married to Palti Ben Laish, this individual. They're separated and brought back to David. And Avner then comes the delegation, has conversations with David, and there's a very good relationship that seems to be struck up between Avner and David as they talk about the idea of making a covenant between the north and the south. However, this happens actually pretty fast and without public knowledge, so that when Yoav, David's general, his military commander, comes back in and realizes what's just happened, that Avner has just walked in and walked out, he's in shock, and Yoav says, Avner's coming to betray you. I mean, you think he's coming to be nice? He's coming to find out what kind of men, what kind of military encampment you have. That's why he's doing this. So Yoav storms out, David's general storms out. He resummons Avner, not to the knowledge of David. And as Avner returns, in the gate of the city, Yoav rams a spear through the fifth rib of Avner, killing him right there, his blood mixing with Asael, who Avner killed in last Perek. Immediately when David hears this, he flies into a rage, and he threatens Yoav and Avishai, the two brothers of Tzeruiah, and forces them to tear Kriya, in a state of mourning, and David himself personally tears Kriya and walks behind the body of Avner to the burial. And David makes this elaborate eulogy, public eulogy for Avner, and mourns him publicly, which clearly sets in the heart of the people that David was not responsible for the death of Avner. This is not a ploy on David's part. And David tells his servants, as the parak concludes, he says, great minister, a great figure fell in Israel today. And he says, but parenthetically, which is going to be a theme for later, these people, Bnei Tzruya, Kashim Mimeni, these people, the Yoav and Avishai, are too hard for me to deal with. And we're going to see later on that that although Yoav and Avishai are fiercely defenders of David, their way and the means in which they decide to defend David are sometimes too extreme for David. So let's just consider this perek as a whole. That was the general summary, but there's a number of things to think about when looking at this perek. First of all, was there actually a relationship between Ritzpah, this Pelegesh, and Avner? Not clear. It's not clear in the text, it's not clear in the Mefarshim either. Whichever way actually it was, it is interesting to know the Ralbag points out that it is clearly Hashem's orchestration over here to catalyze the movement towards David HaMelech being king. That there was a fight, whether based on material or not, that now sort of brought this process to a quicker end. It is interesting to note that Ritzpah actually does appear elsewhere in Tanakh. So in a few weeks' time, we're going to get to Perek Chof Aleph in Shmuel Beis. And at that point in time, David HaMelech hands over the children of Shaul to the Givonim because of a debt that they have with with Shaul and his children. And the Givonim hang the children of Shaul up. And Ritzpah Bas Ayah, this same lady, goes out there and stands in the fields by those hanging bodies of the children of Shaul and chases away the vultures from touching these children. And David HaMelech respectfully buries them there afterwards. It's interesting, Ritzpah is a person who is fiercely a defendant of Shaul and everything he represents, even though those weren't her children necessarily, but because of she was fiercely fierce defendant of Shaul and his legacy. Who was Avner? It's interesting, if you go back to Shmuel Aleph, Avner was in fact the uncle of Shaul HaMelech. He wasn't just his commander, he was also his uncle. It could be, if in fact there was a relationship which was going on between Ritzpah and Avner, maybe Avner looked at this. He was the one who put Ish-bosheth on the throne in the first place. He wanted to reestablish the bloodline of Binyamin on the throne. And maybe Ish-bosheth was not shaping up to the perspective that he wanted. So suggests Yigal Ariel, maybe what's actually going on over here is he's trying to jumpstart the process, maybe to bring the bloodline back of a wife of Shaul and his own bloodline, which is in fact the bloodline of Shaul, to put somebody else on the throne. It was the greatest act of loyalty, even though in a twisted fashion, which is why when Ish-bosheth accuses him of disloyalty, it shakes him to the core. Just something to think about in terms of what's really trying to be achieved here. Now, another point to think about is, why is it that David HaMelech is wanting Michal right now? Meaning, like, out of all things, why is that his precondition to having a conversation with Avner? And if we just pay sensitive attention to this, we can understand just the mechanics of what's going on over here, the mechanics of power. Avner is trying to reestablish the bloodline of Shaul HaMelech. Ritzpah is trying to do the same thing. Ish-bosheth is trying to maintain power. What's David doing? It's interesting that David HaMelech over here is the most powerful of all the characters on the field right now. But David actually has done nothing active to bring about his power. He's not killed Shaul HaMelech. He's not killed or unilaterally taken power from Ish-bosheth. What does he do? He takes claim to one thing which he's entitled to, and that is his marriage to Michal. Why Michal? Because Michal is the daughter of Shaul HaMelech. What David is doing surreptitiously over here is he's saying, if we want to talk about deals between the north and the south, the only way it's going to actually happen is if I am remarried and the bloodline of Shaul HaMelech comes back to me, that Binyamin and Yehuda can come together again. And so that, when a deal is cut, the whole of Mamleches Yisrael, the whole of the kingdom of Israel, will be under one unified person with the two bloodlines. Nobody will be able to say that I took away illegitimately from the line of Shaul HaMelech. And that's why he demands Michal, which is sent, and she is sent to him and remarried. How can she remarry him? It turns out that the Gemara points out that Palti ben Laish was an incredibly strong individual, and even though he was allowed to marry Michal, he realized he was not rightfully allowed to, and they did not consummate that marriage. Michal was able to remarry David HaMelech, and the kingdom of David is reestablished on both sides. Last point just to think about over here is, although it does seem like this war of attrition between the north and the south is going to be a premonition to the future of the northern kingdom and southern kingdom, it couldn't be further from the truth. because actually the two kingdoms in attrition right now are Binyamin and Yehuda. Ultimately, because of David HaMelech's careful handling of the situation, Binyamin and Yehuda are going to be the only two who will remain together despite the exile of the northern kingdoms in the future. David and Binyamin will actually be reunified in an unbreakable fashion that will actually be maintained even through the second Beis HaMikdash. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.